question, and let's check on it.
Listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
Good morning, Rick.
Hearing the William Tell overture to Lone Ranger. You know, your voice has to be stronger. A little bit of allergy at this time of year getting in my throat. I don't know. But anyway, made
Sounds
it through the show.
Me.
Yeah, thank you very much. Made it through yesterday okay. So okay.
So I told Roger, I heard what you said. I thought, oh, no. I said, Rick, here come the text and calls.
I was thinking about this morning, David. You know, no matter who the president is.
That's right.
You can't brag on him because somebody didn't like him.
Yeah, or vice versa.
If Obama had been the president and I'd have bragged on him, people wouldn't have liked it. And if I bragged on Donald Trump, and I was bragging on him because I felt like he stood up for the American team.
Right.
And in the soccer world, that's a very unpopular thing to do because it's all European run. Mm-hmm. So that's all I was doing. And the first call was very supportive, and after that it was mixed.
Downhill after that. You're absolutely right, Rick. I don't care.
Well, the second call wasn't nice at all, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, if I could take a picture with any of them, from Trump to Biden, even Biden, any of them, I would take a picture with our president. That's just me.
The funny thing, I told Roger, Rick, I said, I heard it when you said it. I thought, oh, I know what's coming. And so about 30 minutes later, Rick, 30 minutes later, I'm getting out of my car, and I've been on my phone. I turn it back on. I hear one of the callers goes, I'm not getting into the political stuff, Rick. Don't worry. I knew that had been a point of discussion.
You know what? Let me ask you this, Rick. After what I just made a comment about taking a picture with any of the presidents of the United States, and I would do that. I would do
well,
it
of course.
No matter what.
But here's the deal.
But I don't feel that same way about some of our past Razorback football coaches. If I saw him, I wouldn't care. If I president of the United States, I don't care which one it was, I'd go, dude, can I get a picture with you? If I saw, no disrespect,
If I saw
Chad Morris at Family Mark at the convenience store, I'd go, hey, kids, look, that's Razorback coach. And, I'd finish pumping. I'd still go to the, round it off to the nearest dollar and then get in my car and leave.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I do want to ask you, Rick, about the passing of Bill Burnett. Still holds the touchdown record and really should have held two if it hadn't been for Alex Collins with that, breaking it in, I guess, 2015.
Yeah.
Amazing he's had that record that long. And Coach Broyles would talk about the corkscrew Bill Burnett would corkscrew into the end zone. But we talked about his legacy with FCA, too, which I know you're very familiar with.
There would be no, for everybody that's ever worked for FCA in Arkansas, and I did for 3 years, we all have Bill Burnett to thank. Because as we shared on the show yesterday, and you may have brought this up, at the time Bill was at Arkansas, FCA was had a national headquarters in Kansas City. They had no state headquarters anywhere. It was all the national headquarters, and then, I don't know how everything was distributed. That's way before my time. But Bill, with the aid of H.D. McCarty, who was a pastor in Northwest Arkansas, and Frank Broyles, who is in the FCA Hall of Fame, those three basically went to Kansas City and said, if we raise the support, can we have a state office? And they said, you raise the support, and yes. And that was the start, because now they're everywhere. Not just Arkansas, they're everywhere. And Bill went around the state, got the support, and a man of deep Christian conviction. There's no telling how many people's lives changed because they heard the gospel from Bill Burnett. And so just a great guy. And then he did that for years. Then he came, I don't know exactly what you would call the field, kind of a Christian psychologist, I guess. He had, a psychology degree. He was very insightful in human behavior. And he did that for a while. And then after he retired from that, he came back and went to work for FCA again. Unfortunately, I guess all those dives over the pile.
Yeah.
Did the damage, and his wife Linda, who was faithful by his side all the way, basically said she thought he had CTE, which you can't test for until the person actually dies.
Right.
And that led to Alzheimer's over the last year. Those who visited him frequently said there were days where he remembered everything and there were days where he remembered nothing. And I guess that's how Alzheimer's works. But sad to think, and for those of us who grew up watching Razorback football in the 60s, you know, Bill Burnett was the epitome of greatness. Now, we think of Bill Montgomery, who was the quarterback at the time, and I can just see him cool and calm with tacklers all around him and just waiting for the open receiver and throwing it and getting hit right after he threw it. And I can think of Bruce Maxwell bullying his way between the tackles. You think of some of the great defensive players of that era, Dick Bumpus, Rick Kersey, Cliff Powell. But the guy who, when you got to the goal line, you gave it to Bill Burnett and he scored.
He sure did. He was a lock. And, you know, again, he could have, you know, if not for the injuries, he would have. He might have.
Oh, he'd have a record that might
national,
not be a
national record. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to. Roger just showed me a picture, and it reminded me. Oh. You can, Rick, you're the guy that could probably talk on this better than anybody. When it comes to brothers or families, you know, that are players for the Razorbacks, he's got two other brothers. I'm not sure, you know, there's a more productive combo of brothers, right, in Razorback history. You know, there's several you can mention, but there's certainly three of the best, right?
Well, those three. Now, Tommy was,
I'd say,
an average receiver. Mm-hmm. Bobby was a really good player and played in the pros for quite some time. I'm choking up again here a little bit. But you'd also have to throw Lloyd and Terrydon Phillips in there, too.
You bet. Yeah, as a matter of fact, take you some water. I don't know if you saw it, Roger. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I think ESPN put the numbers, the most famous, most successful numbers in college football history. Number 70 was, just said his name, Rick.
Phillips?
Was
Lloyd Phillips?
He was the number 70.
Okay.
Yeah, and
wow.
Yeah. Which was deserving. Won a national championship. Was the Outland Trophy winner.
Okay.
Yes.
And then they gave the 5 to McFadden.
Yeah,
I
mentioned
Bush.
That.
Is
that right?
They gave it to McFadden.
Wow.
How
about that? Yeah, you might have mentioned that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What are the odds of that? Of all those numbers, two of them being from Arkansas? Isn't that something?
Right.
And absolutely. I don't know who 12 was. But they could have given it to Clyde Scott. They could have given it to Steve Little because he was one of the greatest kickers of all time.
Well, if I had to guess that was probably like a Joe Namath or,
that's right. He was 12. Right.
Yeah. Well, what was he, 12 in college? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
In college.
I think he was.
I don't know if they'd give it to Joe Namath.
What was Atwater's number in college? 23?
27.
I wonder who they gave 27 to.
I don't know.
Dan Hampton, was he 80? What was he? He was 99 for the Bears.
86.
That's right. Yep. We had him at 86, Billy Ray Smith at 87, right?
That's correct, yes.
It was the three. It was LaDainian Tomlinson.
This is for number 5.
Reggie Bush, Christian McCaffrey. D-Mac, and they gave it to D-Mac.
Interesting. Reggie Bush wins the Heisman, and they give it to
McFadden. McFadden should have.
I think, you know, maybe because of the controversy with Reggie Bush, did they take it from him?
The Heisman?
Maybe that's ESPN feeling guilty for McFadden not winning because they were pushing, you know, other people. So, and they should feel guilty about that. Anyway.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's interesting to know.
Yeah,
and Arkansas has had so many great players, you know. But you think about the '60s, and Lloyd Phillips was in the first wave, and Bill Burnett was in the second wave. If you want to go back to a first wave, '60, '61, and '62, people like Billy Moore and others. And then when you talk about '64 to '66, Lloyd Phillips is right there. John Brittenham, we could name several others, and Bobby Burnett. But then Bill Burnett, Bill Montgomery, Chuck Dykus, where we need to mention him because he was such a great receiver then. That was just an amazing decade. Arkansas won more football games than anybody except Texas and Alabama in that decade, and they won two fewer than those two. And in the 60s, they beat Texas twice when they were number one. So it was a. Now, unfortunately, that's been a long time ago, many of our listening audience weren't alive then, and so they never got to enjoy what we got to enjoy.
You know, too, it's interesting that whole thought, too. you know, here we are again, trying a new coach, trying to get out of this, you know, this sort of rut we're in. And you know what, Rick? Everybody's predicting us to be, you know, last in the conference, no expectations. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we have been in a tough spot for quite a while. It's hard to get out of it in this league. The league's so darn tough, and money's so important. We were talking to Johnny Allison. I don't know if you know who that is, Rick, but he's a super successful businessman. He's got a great story. He's from Jonesboro, big supporter of Arkansas State. He was talking about Butch Jones will call him. He laughed about it. He said, when he needs a player, he said, hey, you know, he needs money. And Roger, we've heard Frank Fletcher say the same thing.
He sure did.
That's what college sports has turned into, Rick, where coaches are having to call business people, hey, can you give me $500,000 to give this 19-year-old kid?
It's exactly right, you know, because with Johnny saying what he did, he's ASU's guy.
Yeah.
So Frank is UA's guy. And guess what? Hatcher is UALR's guy,
I'm just saying,
but I mean, we know the connection
that's what happens.
And they want to be, you know.
They may want to be, and they're in a position where they have the resources to be.
Yes.
But it is an absurd system.
I'm with you.
When you say, I need $500,000 for a player, when $500,000 puts you in the upper 2% of all earners in America.
It's ridiculous.
Upper 2%. And when most Arkansans aren't anywhere near the upper 2%. Yeah. And so you're going to pay a football player at a college. If you're playing an NFL player, that's a whole different deal.
But you're
going to pay a college athlete more than 90% of the people in your state making a year.
And yet you
expect those 90%. Those in the 90% to buy the tickets and make the contributions to watch this guy. I'm not just talking about in Arkansas. It's all over America.
I know.
You know what it takes to be in the upper 1% of wage earners in America? It's something like 700,000. I looked at it a year ago, and it was 685,000. So I'm going to guess it's up. You don't even have to make $1 million to be in the upper 1%. And yet, if you're an SEC quarterback, you're probably going to make $1 million or more. That is totally absurd.
I know.
And yet the system's not going to change. The point is, how many times are the boosters at these schools going to keep taking those calls?
I know.
And how many times can they write checks for $500,000? Even wealthy people are not. I mean, the Waltons, they're in a different stratosphere. Yeah. But even wealthy people, let's say you're worth $5 or $10 million. How many checks for $500,000 can you write? Not that many.
Yeah.
Then they expect the common person, hey, can you give us $1,000? If you've been giving us $1,000, can you give us $1,500? Been giving us $1,500, can you give us, well, how about going up to $5,000? And how long is that going to persist? The one thing, I know it's a different era, and you played when Frank Broyles was the athletic director. I worked for him for 24 years. His attitude was he wanted to do everything he could to be competitive. And if a coach needed it to be competitive, he got it. But he never wanted to fleece the people of Arkansas. Yeah. In other words, take money just to take money. And again, it's that way all of college athletics. Arkansas is not the only school facing this.
Yeah. No, it what makes it tough, too, Rick, is because of this system now, like you said, you're really behind the eight ball because you got these schools like Texas and A&M and Georgia. They all got more money. And so if that's what this has turned into, it's just almost impossible to keep up. So it's just Indiana somehow showed that, you know, you can do it. They did give a blueprint to go, hey, you can be the worst and then a year later, 2 years later, you win a national championship. It's the craziest thing ever.
They also had a rather wealthy billionaire. Who helped them a little bit? So let's not think they didn't have any money to spend for football. And because they won, they now have a lot more.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's the way it works. Hey,
do you have to? Are you hosting? Is Randy out all this week?
No, Randy's going to be back today and Wednesday. He's had a family. I don't know how to describe it, but nonetheless, he's going to be out on Thursday because of that. But he'll be back tonight.
All right. Well, rest that voice, Rick. Stay away from politics.
Well, you know what the funny thing is, and I hear the music playing.
Yeah.
We probably won't talk about soccer for another 4 years on the show.
Yeah, we're done. We're done.
Seriously.
We built up
to this big event. United States lost. Does anybody in Arkansas, not many cared anyway, but now that the U.S. is out, does anybody care who wins?
No.
No.
Yeah, I think. It was fun while it lasted.
It's what we. It was our thing.
Yeah, it gave us something to focus on.
Now I'm
going to
go home and cut the grass and not think anything about it. And that's it. It's a done deal.
And you won't be painting soccer lines on your front yard either, will you?
No, that's right. Thanks, Rick.
I want to thank Edwards Food Giant for sponsoring Rick every week. We mentioned Steve Edwards Sr. today, so appreciate those guys and all the folks at Edwards Food Giant.
We saw headquarters last week.
Over in Marianna, that's right. All right, Rick, have a great day. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, guys.